السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، وقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا، فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده، والمهاجر من هاجر ما منع الله عليه. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل الهجرة أن تهجر ما كره ربك، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the first month of Islamic calendar, Muharram al-Haram. And today is the 10th of Muharram, Yawm Ashura. This month is one of the sacred months, as we know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran that out of 12 months, these 4 months are sacred, holy, auspicious, and among those 4 is one Muharram al-Haram. There are so many virtues and significance of the month of Muharram from the beginning of mankind. So many historical events took place in the month of Muharram. And most of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to fast on Yawm Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram, from the very beginning. So, coincidentally, the grandson, the beloved grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an, Ibn Ali radiallahu an, was martyred after 60 years of demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Hijri 60 at Karbala in Iraq. And since then, every year they only talk and celebrate about the martyrdom and shahada of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. No doubt it is very great tragedy, it was very great event, it was very sad incident, the way Hussain and family martyred is one of the bloodiest events in the Islamic history. But there are so many martyrs in Shahada who played before and no one spoke about it. For example, in the very second battle, the battle of Uhud, those beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hamza, Abdul Muttalib, what? And his nose, his hairs were cut off, and his heart was, you know, stone, and his liver was chewed, and what, you know, what happened? And that was the, you know, saddest event in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he was known to himself, so loved him so much on the martyrdom of Hadrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He never cried on the death of anyone as he cried on the death of Hadrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. To that extent, that is only a single individual incident. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 7 times, Allah Hamza, the mayyit of his Lord, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, like this before. One Hamza is enough. The sorrow and then the gham and huzn And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so much, he couldn't control himself. Keep on praying Salatul Janada over and over and over again on the mayyat, on the burial of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. You can imagine how sad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the martyrdom of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. But we don't talk about it. No one talk about it. Right? Then, secondly, he was stabbed several times. In the first of Muharram, he passed away. You can see. Say, Muhammad comes here, don't talk of him. Then, thirdly, Hazrat Usman did so much Islam. Spent millions of dollars in the bringing of Islam. No one spent that of money as Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu supported to the Muslims who were in jihad in every need of the Islam. Hazrat Usman Ghani was in. And how he said he purchased that wealth with his own money and they stopped him to go on the sale which he owned it. And he was house arrested. He was not allowed to come out. And they killed him very brutally in his own house while he was fasting, while he was reciting the Holy Quran. And he fell down onto the page of the Holy Quran. فَسَيَّدْ فِيكَهُمْ اللَّهِ That Allah supports. And that Quran is available till now in the Turkey and Istanbul Museum. His blood is there. Don't talk about it. Then, Hazrat Ali was by Lul, Majusi. Don't talk about it. Then, his elder son, Allah, was given prison by one Jewish lady. And he became Shaheed. No one talk about him. Why only Hazrat Hussein Ibn Ali radiallahu ta'ala every year? That's a question. And all the riwayat we hear every year, this happened, that happened, is all fabricated. It's all historical. There's no base, there's no proof this actually happened. And there were so many, things in the process of the martyrdom of Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala. Every year, only, celebrate the one on the back of the Prophet Allah. No, should happen. We feel that sorrow in him, a shaheed of Islam. Every hero of Islam, no one about. Nonetheless, today I just wanted to highlight few points about the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That until the time of Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala, was no more than a calendar. They will use the calendar of Hijrah. For the events in Indian celebrate do according to the Jariya calendar. But when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala became caliph, then because of the request, he gathered the Sahaba of the time and he made Mashwara. So we should have our own Islamic calendar because now Islam is spreading all over the world and a lot of Muslims are becoming, a lot of people are becoming Muslim. So we need our own calendar. We should not depend on any calendar. So some opinions, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, some have a calendar on the Rasulullah, the great in the history of mankind. Very good idea. But Rasul Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala rejected. He said no. Because Islam is not based on emotion. Islam is based on reality. There is no part of emotion. So, and then if you make the Islamic calendar also on the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Christians will comment because their calendar, Christian calendar, Gregorian calendar is already in existence and it was based on the birth of Jesus according to them, although it is wrong, but that's how they claim. And 25th of December they celebrate the birth of Jesus. So it will be like comment from them, okay, we had our own calendar on the birth of our prophet. Look, Islam, they also did the same thing. They copy us. So some of them say we should have the death, great, tremendous, event. It was very sad day in the history of Islam when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this world. Again, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said it's not a good idea, because every year people will, you know, sorrow and they have remorse and they have regret on the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will mourn on it. Again, it is not emotion. So there was a different opinions. Finally, he asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, because Hazrat Ali was full of wisdom because of the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the beginning, from the childhood he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu made a special dua for him. And in one of the riwayat he say, "Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuhu hukamakam." So I am the city of the knowledge and Ali is the gate of the knowledge. So you can imagine how great personality and how much understanding and deep knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. So he was quiet. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him finally, "O Ali, what is your opinion? Why are you not talking?" So he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I think we should start from the event of Hijrah, migration of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwar." And that was the opinion loved and made a lot of sense to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He said, "Yes, this is the right opinion, and we should make this event in the Hijri, beginning of our Islamic calendar, from the event of migration." Now, in the history of Islam, so many prophets migrated for the sake of Islam, to protect their iman. You will find Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had to leave his native places to go to Palestine and then Iraq and then Egypt. And like Hazrat Musa alayhi salam migrated, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. So you find the great Anbiya alayhi salam migrated from their place to protect their iman. So one of the reason is, wherever you are living on that land, if it difficult by the society or by the government to practice openly and easily on Islam, there are restrictions that you cannot pray. Like eventually all these 12 years or 13 years since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proclaimed and invited about Islam and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tolerated all kind of persecution, all kind of hardships, all kind of difficulties, humiliation. He did all 12 years. He did no problem. He did not leave that place. Because they were allowing, with all these oppressions, with all these persecutions, they were still had permission to go and pray Salat. But even came to that extent when Kuffar of Makkah stopped them to pray Salat. And that was a turning point. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that now it is very hard for you people to practice Islam openly in this land, in Makkah Mukarramah. Now you have to go to the safe land. And then according to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have chosen to go to Madinah Munawwara, which will cause Yathrib in those days. So one of the reason, main reason, if you study all the history, all the lifestyle of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before him, only reason a Nabi or the Prophet left his place is because of the persecution, because of the oppression, because of that restriction to pray and preach about Islam. If this kind of circumstances arrive, then you should not live in that place. You have to leave, you have to migrate, you have to quit that place, depart from that place, and go to the safer place where you have permission to practice Islam openly and easily. That was one of the reasons. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah. Now all these incidents, I don't have time, very limited. There are so many wisdoms and there are so many lessons we can derive from this one event of the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how miraculous, how much of sacrifice and preparation Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did, and his whole family was involved in this event. His cousin Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was a young boy, but he was agreed to sleep on the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing it was very dangerous, it was life threatening. Kuffar already surrounded the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were just waiting in the morning to, if Rasulullah come out of the house, so they can attack on him collectively, so no one can take revenge from there. The group, mob, that was the whole plan. So Hazrat Ali knew about it, but that was the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always, each and every Sahabi used to sacrifice and prefer to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though they have to give away, they have to sacrifice their own life. They were prepared every time, any time, without hesitation, without second thought. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Ali, you sleep." And reason was that he had some amana of the kuffar, although they never used to believe him as the Prophet of Allah, but he was so trustworthy that they used to keep their, you know, expensive jewelries and items by him as an amana. Because this is the safest place. There was no bank system in those days. So he said, "I have this some amana. Now I'm leaving Makkah forever. So now you have to give it back to those people to whom it belongs to. And then you come back to Medina." That was the sentence said by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu later on said, when people ask him, "How dare you wear, man? When you knew that 100% that you are in threat, I mean your life can be in danger. You are sleeping in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the kuffar is surrounding that house and they can attack and kill any time. You knew about it. How dare you wear? What was your strength and power to make you sleep on the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He told me that this is the one I have, it belongs to, and tomorrow you come and meet me in Medina Munawwara. So that hope that Rasulullah told me already, that I will go to Medina, definitely, certainly, alive, I will kill you. Look at what was asked, the young girl, on the one hand, Rasulullah, you will come and will leave me tomorrow. That confidence made him sleep on the bed of Rasulullah. Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was preparing, he already had purchased the two camels, and history is long. So Hazrat Asma, as a young girl, was preparing food, carrying the food to the cave of Thor. All this happened, and then miraculously how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala found that kuffar came all the way to the cave of Thor, and they were sitting on the mouth of Thor, and they, you know, hanging their legs underneath. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq sees the legs of kuffar in that. She was sitting. They are sitting. There is no seat. This is a little people go for a mile. You can have more, you know, narrow it is. Hardly you can enter inside. There was no window. There is no other door to get out, to run out from that cave. Small little hole. And here, kuffar is just sitting on the mouth of that cave. And if any one of them could see down, look down, easily they can see us. There is no way. That was the fear of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And while he was whispering, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with full conviction and confidence and tawakkul, said, "La tahzan, la tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." "Don't worry, Abu Bakr. We came here by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our protector, and Allah will protect us in any way, in any case. La tahzan." In Arabic term, Allah explained in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word tahzan, huzn. He did not say la takhaf. There's a difference between khawf and huzn. This is the richness of the Arabic language. Every word has its own meaning. And you can only enjoy if you understand the meaning of every word of Arabic. Look at the Quran, look at the Jannah, look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No comparison with any other language. So khawf is such kind of fear which person has personally for himself. As for huzn, this fear is for other person. He's not worried about himself, but the huzn is for someone else. Huzn you can have for the parents. Huzn you can have for your wife. Huzn you can have for your children, for your brother. That is called huzn. If you have worry and concern about other people, so the used word is for that is huzn. So here in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the inner feeling of Abu Bakr Siddiq. No one knows beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is going on in the heart of Abu Bakr Siddiq. So he said, La tahzan. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not worried about himself. If they come, they kill me, it doesn't matter. I'm the only one person. But he had worried about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if they were able to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the whole Islam would diminish. One individual, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personality is holding the whole flag of Islam. If they had success to kill Rasulullah, they were the only object of the kuffar to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even they declared 100 camels as a prize. Whoever can capture or give any information about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he can get 100 camels. 100 camels in police time, 100 BMs. Or 100, you know, Mercedes, you can name it. That how expensive that camel were, red camels. So everyone was looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only target, only aim, only object was to capture Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and kill him. The moment Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be killed, whole Islam will be finished. And that was the worry of Abu Bakr Siddiq. If they kill me, don't worry, I will die. But if they succeed to kill you, then there is no one else to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Islam is going to spread? So whole concern, whole worry, whole effort, whole sacrifice of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a sense to protect the whole Islam. It's a great favor of Abu Bakr Siddiq upon the Ummah. No one can pay back that favor of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How he managed to protect and take care of the Islam from Makkah to Medina, whole way, safely. And how much sacrifice he has done in this process. So my brothers and sisters, success a person can only gain after sacrifice. That is the lesson of Hijrah. You can only gain success when you sacrifice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed his native place, his house, his all relatives, and all the Sahaba sacrificed everything. They went empty-handed to Madinah Munawwarah, and within 8 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory. And after 8 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all the Sahaba, 24,000 or more, enter into the same city of Makkah as conquerors, as the king, as you excel from that. Islam read the message. If you practice, you have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And if you sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, little bit, Allah appreciates it and Allah grants the reward tremendous. It's not the amount of your sacrifice, but always the reward is much greater and better than what you lost. Sacrifice for this, whether it's your relative position, your favorite sacrifice for Allah, believe it. But the reward is always tremendous and reward is always precious. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand this point. Wa akhiru da'wana.